Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But right now we welcome in Jared Diamond. Let's talk some Major League Baseball. He, of course, covers it and does it quite well for the Wall Street Journal. He joins us, as all our guests do, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jared, good afternoon to you. How you doing?
You know, I'm hanging in there. So far, it's been a quiet day, so I would love for that to continue.
I was just going to say, you know, we're hearing these reports that, okay, more negative tests than positive tests, and I know you tweeted out the Phillies shared that, you know, they're getting more negative tests. So as we start to hear that, now we got the bad news with the Cardinals, it starts to, I guess, give us a little bit of hope. I guess I would start with this as far as you. Are we looking at Major League Baseball as the biggest story right now actually being played between the lines, or is it still, you know, COVID-19 and what the future is going to hold for this season?
The virus is going to be the story every single day of this entire season, whether they finish it or not. There's just no question about it. It is going to be a constant struggle to keep the virus out, to keep it from spreading, and hopefully avoiding these kind of outbreaks. We've already seen now one definitely with the Marlins that cost essentially six East Coast teams at least a week or part of a week, and now we see the beginnings of a potentially similar situation with the Cardinals. So you just get the sense that we may be looking at sort of a whack-a-mole situation for the next six, 7 weeks with baseball just trying to hang on to get to the playoffs and see if they could get that sweet, sweet playoff TV money they want so bad.
So Rob Manfred kind of came out and gave the, kind of like the father. I'm ashamed of you, guys. You got to get your stuff together. And players didn't really receive that too well. Can you shed any light on the players' response to Rob Manfred saying, you know, we got to get this together, we're shutting it down?
Yeah, that really was not taken well by the players who the vast majority of, the overwhelming majority of, are following the protocols to a T, are in some cases going well above and beyond the protocols that baseball has laid out. So they didn't really like the fact that, their boss, who really is not putting himself in any risk at all this season, is not the one traveling around the country, not the one staying in these hotels, to come out and say, well, you guys have to be better if this is going to work. The reality is all it takes is one player to start a big outbreak. That's likely what happened with the Marlins. That one guy got it, brings it to the clubhouse, and suddenly one becomes six becomes 20 or whatever it was now. Look, are there players that probably need to make better choices? Yes, but the reality is you know that there's not going to be 100% compliance every single day for the entire season from every single player. So it's up to baseball to recognize that and find a way to have protocols in place that don't let those bad decisions turn into a complete catastrophe, which is what happened with the Marlins.
Jared, did Rob Manfred and others drop the ball as far as laying out the guidelines? And we keep hearing about the 113-page, you know, safety protocol and all that stuff. But in terms of, okay, what is an outbreak and what constitutes an outbreak? What constitutes then being shut down? Whether it's Anthony Rizzo complaining about what Don Mattingly complained about before the season started as far as rain delays. Was this well thought out and thoroughly thought through in terms of Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball getting the safety protocols together?
The protocols certainly have some issues. They have some holes in them. There's no question about that. Baseball is already looking with the players' union to start closing up some of those holes. One big one that is going to be closed up here moving forward is the definition of close contact if a player is infected. Of course, baseball does contact tracing and determines who has had close contact with a positive person and then separates that person for more testing and monitoring. Previously, baseball had been going off the CDC definition, which is 15 minutes within 6 feet of an infected person, and baseball has quickly realized that is just woefully insufficient. You know, for instance, when Juan Soto played in an exhibition game for the Nationals, they determined that nobody fit that description. When the Marlins had 4 positive people a couple weeks ago, they just determined only one player fit that description. So that's going to be changed now. The definition of what constitutes close contact is going to be much, much tighter moving forward, which hopefully stops a couple cases from turning into a couple of dozen cases.
Jared Diamond covers Major League Baseball for the Wall Street Journal, joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Okay, so, I mean, we look now at the standings, right? You have the Phillies who have played 5 games. There's going to be maybe a handful, hopefully not that many, but maybe a few teams that haven't even come close to the full 60. In the end, is it coming down to winning percentage, or how are they deciding that? Or is that something that is kind of still up in the air and they'll decide it at the end of the season?
Look, I don't think that they've fully gotten all the way through what it's going to look like, how they're going to determine things at the end of the year. I do know we can say pretty definitively at this point that not everybody's making it to 60 games. It's just the way it's going to be. And frankly, I realize there's probably some fans out there who are going to say, well, that's unfair. That's not right. Look, yeah, you're right. It's not fair. But the reality is this whole season is kind of a miracle that it's even gotten this far. It will be a further miracle if it gets to the end. And the reality is the goal for this season, in the eyes of anybody watching, shouldn't be to expect this to be sort of the fairest judge or the fairest competition. It's just not going to be. They're going to do the best they can to play games. And my advice is just be happy there are any games at all. And at the end of the day, we go, well, that's not fair. I just don't think that's the right way of looking at it. Of course it's not fair. This is just a crazy season where nothing's ever going to make sense.
Boy, I tell you what, Jared, we got to Friday, and that was coming off another stellar outing from Shane Bieber on Thursday night. And, you know, two outings, 14 innings, 27 strikeouts, and it was all about this pitching and 7 consecutive starters with at least 6 innings and 2 or less runs. Then the weekend hits, and it's the numbers are completely flipped. We're talking about an anemic offense that they've got 4 runs in 5 games, no consecutive hits in 33 innings, and their slash line, and this is ugly, 193, 285, 278. The Indians are getting the pitching, but, man, this offense right now is struggling big time, and it's a bigger deal now because you don't have the marathon and the, okay, they'll get out of it at some point. The sense of urgency is now, right?
Yeah, it is a very strange sort of reality of this season where we look, say, at a team like the Orioles, who are 5-3, and we go, all right, they're 5-3. That doesn't really mean anything. Well, every game counts as 2.7 games of a normal season. So 5-3 is more like, you know, 14-9 or 13-9. And the same goes for the Indians. Like, it's not a surprise, I don't think, to anybody watching that their pitching's ahead of their hitting. I think we all knew going into the year that run scoring was probably going to be the issue that would hamper them. But yeah, look, the reality is they just need to find a way to score more runs because their pitching has been really doing work. It's going to continue to do work. Shane Bieber looks like he is developing into truly an ace, one of the top pitchers in the American League. So hopefully for the Indians, they could find a way to get a couple more across because the Twins right now look very, very good.
Hmm. Let me talk to you about the Houston Astros. And I it's easy to say, hey, we're 10 games in and everybody just relax. You know, Springer's going to be fine and Altuve's going to be fine. But we saw what happened, you know, with the Dodgers and the Joe Kelly incident. And we look at Springer, he's below 200. We look at Altuve, he's below 200. Maybe normally we say they'll be fine. But is there something to, hey, maybe the pressure's starting to get to them a little bit? What do you think?
Well, I don't know if it's pressure or it's just that the Astros, as they're currently constituted, just aren't as good as the Astros we've seen over the last 2 years. I think they're still a very good team. I think they still might be the best team in the West. But let's face it, they don't have Justin Verlander. They don't have Gerrit Cole. Yeah, they have a version of Zach Greinke, but certainly not the Zach Greinke that we've seen in the past. Lance McCullers is coming off surgery. Their whole bullpen is hurt. Their pitching was a huge question mark going into 2020, and then they lost Justin Verlander for all or most of the season. So the reality is, I'm not surprised that they're struggling a little bit, especially because they're not hitting. You know, the thought was, well, their lineup is so good that it could compensate for some weak pitching. The rest of the division is only so-so. They'll probably be okay. And that still might be the case, but I'm not totally shocked that the 2020 Astros don't look nearly as good as the 2017, 18, and 19 Astros. I think a lot of people thought that heading into the year.
A few more minutes with Jared Diamond covering Major League Baseball for the Wall Street Journal. Jared, we know the Mets have been it's been a joke the last few years, and not just, you know, necessarily on field, but just communication or lack thereof from the ownership to the front office to managers. And we kind of had another spat of this yesterday, but this was so odd as far as Yoenis Cespedes. It was reported he was seen saying goodbye to players the night before. But then the next day, he doesn't contact anybody, and the Mets are frantically trying to get a hold of him. How did this thing play out, and who's at fault here? Like, how did this come together?
Yeah, this is the kind of thing that truly only happened to the Mets, it seems. And that Mets Yoenis Cespedes relationship was just a perfect one in some ways, because Yoenis is a very mercurial guy. The Mets are, you know, perhaps the most dysfunctional organization in baseball, so as if they were born for each other. Look, I have no idea what really happened there. The Mets sent out a statement saying they don't know where he was, don't know where he is. Is he lost? Is he safe? Then they say, oh, he's safe. We just don't know where he is. It was all very, very strange and sort of a fitting end to that Mets-Cespedes relationship. And, like, this kind of stuff with the Mets has been going on for a long, long time. It has transcended managers. It's transcended general managers. It's even now transcended PR teams. So at some point, I think you have to look at what is the one common denominator with the Mets for all of these years. And it's all the way at the very, very, very top with ownership. Now the Wilpon family is selling the Mets. We don't know who's going to buy it yet. It's still sort of happening. But I do believe truly that when the Mets finally are no longer owned by the Wilpons, suddenly that organization is going to be run very, very differently. And then everyone who's questioned why this stuff always happens to the Mets will finally have an answer.
Jared, Yankees fans are obviously very happy to see Aaron Judge back healthy and doing what he's doing and hitting the home runs. But this has largely been about, at least their early start here, this bullpen. And it's not the names we're used to hearing about necessarily. David Hale, Nick Nelson, the depth of this Yankees bullpen, and, of course, obviously getting some key bombs when they need them. But how important has that bullpen been here early on?
Yeah, it's been great. I think at some point, and then maybe everyone who's a baseball fan knows this by now, but at some point I think we just have to recognize that despite all the money that he's given, Brian Cashman is an absolutely incredible general manager, one of, if not the best, in all of baseball. It seems like every single year Brian Cashman makes a series of moves to bring in players that you have never heard of who go on to have incredible seasons and really contribute for the Yankees. We're seeing that now with some of these relievers, guys that they sort of bring in. We see this last year when it seemed like their entire team was injured. They were scrambling. They were on their third string, and everyone produces. Guys like Gio Urshela, whoever would have thought it. The signing of DJ LeMahieu. My goodness, that was a guy that any team could have signed. The Yankees snatched him up, and he has just been an absolute monster for them the last year plus. Look, they're an amazing team. Aroldis Chapman looks like he's about to come back very soon, which will only help their bullpen more. They were the favorites in the American League going into 2020, and certainly nothing has changed so far. They really look like a real juggernaut to be tough for anybody to beat.
Jared, we'll get you out of here with this. Always appreciate the time. The Dodgers 7-3 in the season. Boy, a scare there to start the year with Clayton Kershaw, comes back in that initial start, his debut, and looked very, very good. Does Clayton Kershaw have to be healthy this season if you're going to pick the Dodgers to win it all? I know there's a lot of unexpected right now, but does he have to be healthy?
I mean, goodness, that was so much fun yesterday to watch Kershaw. Mm. That was like vintage Clayton Kershaw. He was awesome yesterday. That was the best I think we've seen him in a while. And he's always been really good in the regular season, but he was really, really good yesterday. And I think the very encouraging thing that we saw from him yesterday was that velocity was up. His fastball was higher than we've seen it in recent years. It was averaging about 92 miles an hour. Last year was closer to 90.5 or so on average. So that was great to see. Of course, we all know what the question with Clayton Kershaw is always going to be, was will he do it in the playoffs? The good news is for the Dodgers is that Clayton Kershaw is not their ace anymore, at least when they head into the postseason. They have other guys. He doesn't need to shoulder the same load he needed to in the past. I continue to hold out hope that one day Clayton Kershaw sort of exorcises these demons and has a great October and leads the Dodgers to a championship. I think it would be a great story. And why not in 2020 where all the weird stuff is happening? Maybe this is the October where Clayton Kershaw suddenly has his Madison Bumgarner moment.
Jared, great stuff, man. Enjoyed the time. Keep up the good work. Hope to talk to you soon. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.